Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. I want to tell you about some more of the games I played last weekend at Board Game Geek Con in Dallas, Texas. It was quite a fun event, and I got in a ton of game time. And I felt since this is Thanksgiving week here in the United States, what better time to talk about board games, as many of you will be congregating with friends and family this week. What better time to bring out a board game? And I thought I'd give you some suggestions of relatively new stuff that I played this week that you may be able to snatch up in time for your family gatherings and bring out to delight friends and family with some good old rip-roaring tabletop fun. Now, these are going to be some lighter selections, maybe games that play a little quicker, but are perfect for Thanksgiving. And they're all new games that I played, or at least new to me, games that I played at Board Game Geek Con this weekend. The first is a game that I absolutely fell in love with and immediately purchased after playing it at Board Game Geek Con. It's a social deduction game, which usually translates into lie to your friends. But what better time than Thanksgiving to sit around, eat delicious food, and lie directly in the face of your closest family members. It's a game called Don't Mess with Cthulhu, and it is from Indie Boards and Cards. It is a game of secret roles where a certain number of players are Cthulhu, are evil Cthulhu, and the villagers are trying to survive and find hidden cards in the deck before the evil one is revealed. So everybody has a few cards in their hands. They're all secret roles, whether they're trying to reveal the evil one as Cthulhu or reveal the secret hidden good cards. And you have them in your hand, so you know whether you have good cards or bad cards. And you have to lay them out in front of you in random order so that you don't even know which one is which. And then you take turns selecting a card from another player in front of them, revealing that card, and you're trying to reveal the good cards if you're the good guys before the Cthulhu, so you know what cards you have in front of you, and you will straight up tell everybody, hey, I've got one of the good cards in front of me. You should definitely reveal one of my cards. You don't know which one it is, so you can't tell them, hey, reveal this specific one, but you can say, hey, reveal one of my cards. But if you're a Cthulhu, you are lying and telling people to, hey, come here, reveal my cards, because you, if you have the Elder God, the evil card, you're trying to get them to reveal that. So it's a game of lying to one another, trying to get people to either pick your cards or not pick your cards, as the case may be. Now, there are a lot of games like this, social deduction games with hidden roles, and many of them are my favorites. Games like The Resistance or Avalon or Coup, many games I've recommended on my shows before, but many of those games have something in common, which is they don't give you anything really to do turn to turn. It is a secret role game. You're trying to suss out who is what, but it's sort of just a free-form, open discussion. The game itself doesn't have much structure other than you have to select one person to out, or you have to accomplish some agreement trying to figure out who's good and who's bad. And those games are really fun, and they engender a lot of ridiculous lying to your friends. But in the wrong group, it's a bunch of people sitting around quietly not knowing what to say, or there's no structure to things. And what I like about Don't Mess with Cthulhu is that you have something to do on every turn. You have to flip a card. So regardless, the game is going to progress, and regardless, there's going to be some bluffing and non-bluffing. It creates a scenario where you have to do something, and the conversations just grow naturally out of that rather than having to sort of rev them up by saying, well, I'm not bad. What are you? You know, there's no awkward moment of trying to start up a conversation. So don't mess with Cthulhu. Easy to recommend, inexpensive to buy, and good for lying to your friends. But if even that level of lying is too much, another social deduction game I played at BGGCon for the first time, Werewords, might be more up your alley. Again, inexpensive to play. This is from Bezier Games, and you may have heard me talk a little bit about it when I had Ted Alsbach on the show. He was an interview that I did and posted here on Newest, Latest, Best. Werewords is a variation on One Night Ultimate Werewolf, which is one of Bezier's most popular games. You probably have heard of it, if not played it. It's a take on the old classic game of Werewolf, which didn't really even require anybody to buy anything. One Night Ultimate Werewolf gives you a structure for that scenario and plays much quicker than the old Werewolf. But basically, the structure of Werewolf was a bunch of villagers, couple of werewolves, everybody closes their eyes, the werewolves know who's who, everybody opens their eyes, try to figure out who's the werewolf, and you execute someone at the end of the day. The villagers are trying to execute the werewolf are trying to get the villagers to execute each other. Again, open, free-form discussion. Werewords is the newest variation from Bezier Games, and it is a ton of fun. With Werewords, you mash up playing a game of werewolf with playing a game of 20 questions. So there are, again, as in werewolf, secret roles. Certain number of people are werewolves. Certain number of people are villagers. There are other specialized roles as well, especially as they get to higher player counts. But one player is the mayor. The mayor sees a secret word that is delivered via an app that you can freely download with Werewords. Sees a secret word, and then all the villagers attempt to try to guess that word using a series of yes or no questions, just like 20 questions. And the mayor has some tokens that say yes, no, or maybe on them, and he passes those tokens out and gives indications trying to help the villagers guess the secret word. But werewolves exist among the villagers, and they are trying to prevent the villagers from guessing the secret word because they know the secret word too. But they can't prevent the secret word from being guessed or throw the villagers off the scent too obviously, because if the villagers figure out who the werewolves are, they can still win the game without guessing the secret word. It's a lot of fun, and it, again, gives a structure to this freeform discussion because you're wildly trying to guess the secret word as the timer ticks down. You have only, I think, 2 minutes to or 3 minutes to guess the secret word, so you're wildly rattling off these yes or no questions and trying to pay attention to who asks weird questions or who's trying to throw people on the wrong track and be difficult and use up questions. It's a really interesting dynamic that develops and a lot of fun. I had a great time playing One Night Ultimate Werewolf, but I had an even better time playing Werewords, a game that I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend. Board Game Geek Con wasn't the only high-profile board game convention in the United States taking place last weekend. In fact, it was a bit of a bummer that PAX Unplugged, the very first board game-centric PAX, took place the very same weekend as Board Game Geek Con. So I couldn't be in two places at once, but luckily my buddy Sean Madigan was at PAX Unplugged, and he sent in a report on some of the games he played.
Hey Jeff, it's your buddy Sean Madigan reporting about my time from PAX Unplugged. It was a blast, really good time. We'll say it's had some of the downfalls of normal PAXs of waiting in line to play a lot of the bigger games, but still fun. Some of the games I played were Unearth, which I picked up. It was about controlling different territories by rolling different types of dice, making matches. That was fun. Fog of Love, everybody was raving about, including the Shut Up and Sit Down people. It's a two-player game where you're maintaining a relationship. Sounded really interesting. And Guards of Atlantis, I didn't play also, but that was a MOBA game that looked like a lot of fun. Games I did play, finally, a little older games, were Ethnos, Dice Forge, and Flamme Rouge, and they were all amazing.
Thanks for the report, Sean. Those games sound good. Specifically, Fog of Love. That is a game I am dying to try. Boy, it sounds fascinating and a real interesting use of the board game medium. I do think it is unfortunate that both of the cons took place on the same weekend. I hope that doesn't happen going forward. Both of them very high-profile board game conventions, and I know a lot of publishers and personalities and just gamers in general were torn between going to one con or the other, and I think it's actually kind of, I don't know, it's unfortunate that PAX Unplugged decided to pick the exact same weekend. I know that they were not near one another, Dallas and Philadelphia, but still, it's a bummer to have board gamers and publishers specifically have to choose which con to go to. I know Rob Davio actually managed to go to both. He spent 2 days at BGG Con and 2 days at PAX Unplugged. But that's not fair to have to make guys like that do that. And I hope, because the board game hobby is really just growing, that in the future those will be staggered a little bit so that each can have their own time in the sun and we can celebrate two different weekends of great board gaming conventions in the United States instead of having them be head-to-head direct competitors, which just seems so unfortunate. Still, exciting stuff and, you know, a great week to talk about board games. I know I'll be playing stuff with my family. Hopefully you are too. I'd love to hear about it if you play stuff. I'll have some more recommendations on tomorrow's episode probably. And we'll keep giving you ideas for things to play. But if you play any tabletop stuff with your family over the holidays, boy, I'd love to hear about it. You can send me a call-in using that call-in button on the Anchor app.